This is one in a series of podcasts from the Hyatt Webb Conference in Austin, 2011.
Like he said, my name is Chris Gable. I'm from the University of Kentucky, specifically the College of Engineering. Just a little bit of background for you about the project. I came back from maternity leave in February, and they had a meeting, told me they're changing the way that they wanted to do our research piece for this year. A lot of schools put out research pieces, or they can range from, you know, like these 20-page overviews of your department to, you know, 300 pages, this is everything we're doing in research. Well, they decided they did not want to do either one of those options. They want to do a printout that just, it was like a trifold piece, and this is actually what it looks like. This is the printed piece. And they wanted to stress the importance of the collaboration between departments. So that's where the title for my presentation actually comes from. The title of this printed piece was Innovate and Collaborate. And so I guess the title is a little misleading because I feel like the code for this is not really innovative. And you know, some of the code I used was actually ripped off from somebody else, and I'll give them credit when I get to it. But so I don't know if you want to call that collaborative or not, but that's really what they wanted to focus on. My point I'm hoping to get to you guys is this was easy. You know, I came back in February, they already had the print piece together. They're like, we're going to mail this in 2 weeks. We need the website component ready to go. And I was like, okay, well, you know, let's get a little background here. What do we need to do? Before I get too much into that, this is what we're kind of going to go over. I want to go over a little bit of background of the actual web project. You know, what does it need to do? Who's the audience for it? We evaluated a couple solutions before we went with WordPress. A little bit about the development, some of the lessons I learned, and then how we're going to move forward next year, because they want to change just about not everything. They do want to change the layout, and they want to add additional features this coming year. It's not in HTML5. We've got a new dean that's supposed to start in July. They actually haven't hired him. The target date is July 1st. So they're wanting to relaunch this, along with the rest of all of our websites, July 1st, to coincide with his hiring. So the first thing, you know, that everybody asks when you start a project is, what are we going to have it look like? And as developers or web designers, it's probably a bad place to start. They came in, just everybody knows what they want it to look like. Nobody really has a goal of who our audience is, what is it going to do. Luckily, they did already have a design for the printed piece. So it saved me a lot of time because I didn't have to worry about really doing layouts with color palettes or a general idea of how the site was going to go. We have a great graphic designer, and she loves infographics. That's like her big thing. If we can give her an infographic, which is this, she goes crazy. So if they already had, you know, the basic concept together, so I didn't have to worry about anything like that. So what I really wanted from them, you know, who's your audience? And most of the rest of our website, the target audience is pretty defined. You know, it's prospective undergraduate students. That's where they've been wanting to go with our strategic plan for the last couple years. It's going to change this year. The research piece was specifically for graduate students. Looking at our website numbers, we don't get a whole lot of traffic from undergraduate students, even though that's our target audience. All the admissions stuff is handled by main campus, so that's where the students go. Financial aid, handled through main campus. We have additional scholarship stuff we offer for undergraduate students, but you still have to fill out an application for main campus. So when we looked at our Google Analytics numbers, all of our traffic was going to the graduate programs. And once they're on the graduate programs, they're clicking on specific faculty, and we assume it's because they're looking for the type of research they have. So the audience really is primarily graduate students, but also other researchers, because they're in this big push right now. We don't have the money like maybe Ohio State or MIT or Stanford in research dollars. So that's what they're trying to do to separate us from these other research institutions is, you know, you're not going to work with just mechanical engineering. You're not going to work with just electrical engineering. You know, you're going to work with psychology. You're going to work with the College of Education. And so they're trying to attract researchers from other universities as well. They've got for some reason, they have a really big partnership with Louisville. You know, you can't say anything good about Louisville on UK's campus unless you're talking about research. Well, it's probably true at Louisville, too. I don't really know what the deal is. You know, they're not in the same conference, but I'm not from Kentucky, so I'm still trying to learn. And then also corporations. We have faculty that or their lab space and their research, although it may not be endowed by a corporation, it is actively funded on a monthly basis. So that's who they really wanted to reach. And then my questions are always, you know, what do you want it to do? What do I actually need to have it function? And so what they asked me to do was, you know, we want you to display every active funded project that's listed with the Office of Sponsored Projects. So that was kind of a relief to me because that means I'm going to limit it to this year. And eventually they said they wanted to go back 5 years and put all those in. I didn't know really what I was getting into at that point. I pulled a report from our Office of Sponsored Projects, and there were 450 from the last year that were funded. And they wanted all of that put into the website. And then, I'm not sure if you guys know, in NSF, the National Science Foundation, all engineering faculty should have one of these resumes up. So they wanted this style bio up for every researcher. They wanted to be able to tag those researchers with keywords for their research, the department they're in, the centers they work in. They wanted their education, their current publications. And that's what they wanted to be able to sort and search by all that information, which doesn't seem like a big problem. It kind of freaked me out a little bit, because I'll show you what we are working with here. And by the way, I have all these slides already posted at christophergable.com/HEWeb11. I've got them up as PDFs, and then I pasted some code snippets in there in case you wanted any of that, and there's some links to some relevant solutions. But this is actually our research site when I started, and what I had to work with when I came back in February. I got hired in 2009. They hadn't had a web developer or webmaster since 2005, and the WordPress or the Dreamweaver templates were built in 2003. So it's not pulling the main image that was here, but everything else is pretty much accurate. So Dreamweaver templates, they wanted all the search functionality, and they wanted it in 2 weeks. And I was like, this is not going to happen. You know, we had been test driving WordPress. But we didn't have anything up with the kind of capability that they wanted that I could do it quickly. So we did start to evaluate some of the solutions. Our first option was, of course, to stick with the Dreamweaver templates. It was not my choice for either our main website or this research website. I was spending a lot of time trying to fix things. And I think the only reason that we hadn't moved to something already was because our IT department is justifiably concerned about security. Universities seem to be a great place for people to just sit around and hack into your network. And it seemed to happen quite a bit with our homegrown solution. That's actually why we ended up not going with HTML despite the fact that it's going to take me forever to get this kind of search functionality built from scratch in PHP. Our website was hacked over Martin Luther King weekend, and we had a content writer who had started a Twitter feed and a Facebook account quit and did not tell me he had started those and had linked them to the RSS feed. So when it got hacked, everything went out to Twitter and Facebook as well. So the IT department was like, okay, you've been pushing for this for a while. We're going to move to a content management system. And the computer science department, sorry, I don't really know how this thing's working. The computer science department was using Drupal, and the university as a whole had pushed for everybody to use Drupal. At the time that we wanted to put this up, they were at Drupal 6. The university was not offering any support as far as software or hardware setups for Drupal. And it was actually at this conference last year in Cincinnati, I had sat down for breakfast and was talking to people about content management systems. And it just so happened they had all switched to Drupal recently, and they weren't developers. They were just the content managers. And they all talked about how they hated the UI, didn't understand the menu structure, it took them forever to do their jobs. So, and we actually had a bunch of students that were also on one of the university servers using this that said, you know, we just can't use it. We also looked at WordPress. We had been using WordPress MU to power our student websites for almost a year. I was pretty comfortable with it. We had a pretty solid plugin base and a few themes already together. So WordPress 3 also came out that gave it a lot more CMS functionality that really made it a good option for us. And like I said, we were already running it. So we ended up going to WordPress specifically because a lot of the functionality that they wanted was already built into WordPress. Categories, the administrative backend that we could customize so people could only have access to certain types of custom fields. There was already built-in archiving and searching. And with WordPress 3, we were able to do custom taxonomies and custom post types. And if you're not familiar with, you know, WordPress, it comes with 5 default post types, but with a little bit of code, you can actually create new post types. So we decided we needed to have 3 custom post types. One was just the slider on the home page. And the slider just mimics that infographic. You can hover over the button, it pops up the name of the featured article that they had chosen, and this is all just jQuery, and then a coda slider with a coda bubble box. So we just created a custom content type for the slider. All it has is a title, and then a custom meta box where you link the ID of whatever this project is, and it's actually got a little. You can actually choose which background you want. Like, you choose between one of the 6 slides that we have, click on wherever you want your bubble to be, you hit update, and it automatically adds that bubble in on the home page. So hypothetically, they wanted to switch these out occasionally and choose different featured projects. Another problem we had was they can't decide who needs to be featured because they don't want to hurt people's feelings. So when we got into the development cycle, the HTML was simple. They already had a basic layout that they wanted to go with. They had a color palette. I knew right away this is what they want to do. This is what it's supposed to look like. So I didn't have to spend a whole lot of time there. I used the 960 framework, which will also probably be changing. I guess they have a fluid version out now, but we need something that's a little more responsive. And then we already had snippets from our existing templates that I was able to use for the WordPress specific content. So the HTML was pretty quick. And then the other custom post types, we had researchers and then the projects. And that's the big thing about this database. They wanted to be able to list all these projects. When the project page comes up, they want to have tags for what the research areas were. They wanted to tag the primary investigator and then the co-primary investigator. And then be able to link back to the researcher bios, which again had the NSF style bio, and then also listed their active or archived projects. And a little bit of the code for this, it's short. It's 17 lines to register this post type, and all, you know, there's a lot more features that you can actually do when you register a post type. Like this capability type, I just put page in. All that means is that when a user is added, they'll have the same privileges as a user. Like if I say I have a new author, they'll have the same privileges as an author that has the capability to edit pages or posts. So we could do something a little more advanced that would tie into a plugin like Role Manager, where you can say, okay, we could define a custom user and then say, well, they can edit their own projects and their own bio, but they can't edit somebody else's. We didn't need that functionality because I'm the only person that has to update this, so we didn't really need that advanced functionality. And if you're not interested in writing this kind of code, there is a link, and it's steamergency.com. It is actually a generator for this. And I have that link on the HEWeb 11 page. And so, if you go to this page, it already has the form. The internet was working. It already has a form. You fill out the fields. You hit next. It's got 4 pages of forms, and that generates the code for you. One of the drawbacks of WordPress that they brought up in the cage match earlier is that you can't define custom post types in the UI. But if you're not a coder, this is pretty useful. I haven't used it myself, but I sent it over to a couple people that were ASP developers and didn't really want to learn the PHP when they started working on WordPress. And then there's, of course, the custom taxonomies. Now, if you don't know what a taxonomy is, it's basically how you can categorize your different, your posts, your pages, and in our case, our both our researchers and our projects. It's even simpler to implement. We've got one line of code to register a taxonomy. And we basically just say, this is the name that we want to have it. When it's displayed on the backside, you know, we want it to have its own tab that says researchers. And if you look on the back end of this, under projects, there is now a taxonomy list for research areas, departments, primary investigators, co-primary investigators, and then our status. Originally, they wanted to be able to have the status as active or complete. They've since revised their decision and wanted it to automatically fall out or start based on the start date and end date of the budget cycle, which is actually different than the research cycle, but they wanted these custom meta tags or boxes for that type of information. So that's what we added here. They have the sponsor name for each project, the award amount, the beginning date, ending date for the funding. And when I said this wasn't exactly collaborative, the only collaboration I had, we have an office of sponsored projects. They have a homegrown ASPX system, and they can spit out an Excel sheet with everything that I needed. And so there's a plugin for WordPress called CSV Importer, and all you have to do is basically format the headers the right way, and then it'll import everything into your database. So I had, like I said, it was like 350, 400 projects that I was able to import in, I don't know, I guess it was 30 seconds or so. The one drawback to that plugin is it does not recognize duplicate entries. So I had to update it a little bit so before it would enter it into the database, it would actually search for that title. And CSV still had some issues because the apostrophes are formatted differently as far as the character than the PHP MyAdmin or the MySQL database. And if you want to take a look at this template, this is what it basically does. It spits out the title of the project, which is ridiculously long. And once again, working with faculty members, you don't want to touch a title. You don't want to touch an abstract. You just put it in as is. If the associate dean of research comes to me and says, this is a ridiculously long title, you need to change it, then we can change it. But until then, we can't do anything because they're real touchy about their stuff. But then it does spit out all the research areas, the departments they're in, the primary investigator in this case, and then the co-PI. And right now, this project's actually pulling just the content, because this is an older project that was inputted into our database. Yes?
The primary investigator, that link, where's it going to?
That's a good question. On this project, it's going to go, because it's a tag, when I click on it, it's going to go to a list of the other projects that he's associated with. And the reason it does that is he does not have a bio.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And that's what the goal was supposed to be. This guy is a new faculty member in biomedical engineering. They recently moved from the graduate school to the College of Engineering. So I did not have access to their NSF bios. So by default, if somebody has a project that's been pulled from the office's sponsored projects, and I import it into our WordPress site, if they don't have a bio, it'll just list the projects that they're currently working on. You can still search by that name, and it'll come up in our search box because it is a tag, and we're using the Search Everything plugin so that you can search custom taxonomies. There were some issues with it with WordPress 3 at first. I believe it's been worked out. I had an update for that plugin, I guess, a couple months ago. I did. And that's what I was going to get into next is, we talked about the templates together. Basically, with WordPress, they have something called hooks. It does exactly what it says. It hooks directly into the WordPress API, and it adjusts whatever you want. So there's two basic types of hooks, filters and actions. In this case, it's a filter that we used. So it basically says, when it prints out those terms, it looks for a specific type of term. In this case, I limited it to the primary investigators and the co-primary investigators. So it'll do a separate query on that term name, and then it'll look for researchers, it's based on slugs too. So the slug for the primary investigator or the co-primary investigator has to be the same as the slug for the researchers. It's a little wonky, but WordPress doesn't have taxonomy metadata right now. You can't add, by default, it does not allow you to add specific, like tied taxonomies to posts. But, and this is where I said I ripped off somebody's code. You may have heard of this guy, or at least his book, Professional WordPress Plugin Development. I don't know this guy, but I bought the book and it was fantastic. And he had this post where he talked about linking terms together. And once again, it's a piece of code that it's a little longer, it's 35 lines. And there's two functions. First, you add the filter, and the term link is the WordPress specific filter that it's going to tie into. And then my term type is the name of the function that it's going to call instead of the default term link function. And what it does is it takes that slug and then uses the second function that looks for, and it basically converts that slug into a post ID. And if there is no post ID, it'll return false, and then it'll just go to the regular term list. If it does return true, it'll adjust the URL for that term. And so, Dr. Liao, if you look at his active projects, when you click on his name, it does go back to his bio. The drawback of this system is that if you have a project with, you know, one PI and then six co-PIs, which is sometimes common if they include their graduate students on their report, you're doing separate database calls for every term on that page, which is an additional load, because just doing the term list doesn't have a database call that's built in, but this is a separate database call for each term in that list. And then also, another thing about this template, the active projects, when you tag a project with a primary investigator or a co-primary investigator, those are going to be together as one. If you looked and you queried, I want to know all the projects that Dr. Liao is part of, it'll query primary investigators and co-primary investigators together. So we ended up having to, once again, use multiple database calls, and we end up having four on each page, because it looks for the projects that he's the primary investigator, the co-primary investigator, the archive projects where he's the primary investigator, and then the archive projects where he's the co-primary investigator. So the system's not ideal. It's one of the drawbacks, is there's a lot of database calls on at least the researcher page. The projects page might have some additional ones, but the researchers page has a lot of database calls. We haven't seen any real slowdown, but our database is relatively new. So I just got another round of updated projects, and we're hiring new faculty. So as we get more projects and more researchers in there, I'm curious to see if there's going to be a noticeable slowdown. The idea for this actually came, Justin had a post where he created a movie database, and he linked the movie with its description of the movie to a director or a writer or a producer. And I figured, you know, why can't we do the same thing with just our research pages instead? I checked that article a couple days ago, and there were actually some other people that had posted about the same problem. There's some drawbacks, because you're doing multiple database calls to get those terms to redirect to the correct page. So they do have a plugin now that you can add metadata to taxonomies. And there was somebody else that actually had just a function they had written that was very similar, that was supposed to take some of the load off. And it is in the track as a feature request to add a taxonomy meta table. And some of the plugins that we're using, cForms is not currently updated on the WordPress repository, but it's actively updated by their user base. For some reason, they just don't add it to the repository anymore. We use it primarily because I don't know when faculty members are updating their research, when they're updating their publications. And so I've sent them out, everybody in the faculty listserv, I sent out this link to a C form so they can say, you know, this is my name, this is what my title has changed to, these are updated publications, and they can request me to update certain parts of their site. And I explained, you know, we use CVS importer and of course Google Analytics. The old site was HTML, so there was the HTML extension on all the pages, so we're using redirection to take some of the heavily used pages and redirect them to their WordPress equivalent. There wasn't a whole lot of traffic I had to redirect, and that's a good thing about redirection. It actually gives you a list of the pages that are being redirected and the count, how many times it's been redirected. And so we ended up redirecting a few, because I mean, seriously, look at this. There was nothing there. The current projects link had one project on it. So I wasn't surprised that their funding was down a little bit because they didn't post anything. Search Everything does search all the custom taxonomies and the custom post types. And then top 10 is just the top 10 posts on the page. We use that in the footer. They were, because of that infographic that our graphic designer put together, they wanted to have word clouds, which I assume they're going to be changing in their next revision, because not many people are actually using word clouds anymore because they're kind of hard to read. So we used, that's what, these are the top research areas, and then the top popular pages are both using top 10. Like I said, it's a little sketchy on who you feature when it comes to faculty projects and faculty members. So both the featured researcher and the featured projects are all random. The WordPress loop that I use just pulls one random researcher every time the page loads five random research projects. So if they complain that they haven't been featured, it's because they haven't submitted anything to be on the sponsored project's website. Some of the lessons we learned, the database, and we haven't seen any slowdown in this, but I'm concerned about the number of database calls we have going forward. I'd really like to make, especially with mobile sites, I'd like to make this as fast as possible. I'd like it to not break the database. And in the cage match earlier, the WordPress presenter did say, well, if you have more than 100 users, it's a pretty good chance it's going to crash your site. And we may not get more than 100 users at a time on our research site, but it's something to think about for our main page. And I really, going forward, I really think I need to empower the users to update their own content. Another bear of the whole thing is when they tell you they want a research, the administration tells you they want a research project, it falls to you to kind of update this stuff. So luckily, the featured projects that we put up are all in a database already with Main Campus. They can spit out a CSV file and I can import it in. You know, I've got a request in with that the database lady over there, and she sends me a report once a month with updated projects. So that's no big deal. It's not time intensive. Updating faculty profiles is extremely time intensive because it's changing all the time, and we've got over 200 faculty. And as I was talking to one of the ladies here, our school is pretty small. Like, their mechanical engineering department's got 1,200 people. You know, that's really big. So, and we also wanted to make everything a lot more simple in the future. When we previewed this with our associate dean of research, he, you know, has a PhD in chemical engineering, but he did not know what a slider was for. So knowing that he could click on these buttons, he didn't really understand it. They also, in the original version, they had a lot more of the infographic, and he wanted to get rid of it because he's like, you know, we're engineers, we want graphs, we want bulleted lists. Don't give me all the text. And actually, I kind of like that idea because I can't stand, I've got, maybe it's because I work in web development, my attention span is now short. So if I can't even get through the text, why is a student going to get through it? And some of the things we want to go with in the future, I added a URL rewrite to those custom projects. And I don't know if you looked at this, but it pulls the full name of the title in the URL. And once again, I can't adjust that because if I take the wrong word out, because I tried to. I tried to shorten these, some of these manually, and the researchers called me and said, that's missing the word oxygenation. You need to put it up. And I'm like, your title is 36 words long. I'm like, that's a little crazy. So I'm either going to take the rewrite rule out and just use the built-in WordPress link shortener, or I'm going to have, once again, this is empowering the users. If they can put in their own projects, they can choose the URL for their titles. And standardizing keywords. I pulled in those projects, and there were over 800 unique keywords for these projects. And a lot of them were the same thing. So, you know, somebody's doing work on solar cells, they might have inputted in the database as solar cell, solar array, solar cells, plural. The same with aerospace, aerospace turbines, aerospace technology, aerospace whatever. And so I met with the librarian and the associate dean, and their librarian for the engineering library is supposed to put together a standard set of keywords that everybody is supposed to choose from first. Because when you submit to a magazine or an actual research article or research publication, there's a set keywords for everything you submit. You can't just put whatever. It's very specific for that journal. So we figured that it should be very specific for this website as well. We'll see when that actually happens. And like I said, they do want an automatic end date. It is now in the system that it'll automatically pull that in as a custom meta field into our database, but it's not there on the custom loop yet. And the other big thing that is going to be coming up this year is we have centers and consortia, and they want that as a post type. So basically, they're research institutions. Everybody at UK that does research can roll out their own corporation, basically, and so they get, you know, funding for these projects, and then during the summer they can sell their research to companies, and they spend all their time traveling instead of teaching. So they want me to do the same thing with centers that we've done with the researchers. They want a brief description of that research center, the keywords that they are participating research in. Once again, there's like 100 of those just for the College of Engineering for the undergraduate programs. And then I'm hoping that we can test out that plugin for the custom taxonomy metadata or data. So are there any questions? I ran through that kind of quick. Yeah. That's the thing I guess this is being recorded, so I should put this. They didn't have an idea of how they wanted to measure success. They still don't. Success right now is measured by the happiness of the faculty members. That seemed to be the biggest thing right now, is they wanted to have somewhere that all the faculty could have something that's uniform with their research projects and their research areas. That's a great thing that we need to probably implement, is some sort of success. And we've definitely got better traffic because the old site didn't have anything on it. Yes? You said you're concerned about database overhead. Have you looked at the caching plugins? I'm not sure if they work. I have looked at them. Yes, I haven't implemented them. I don't maintain the database, so whenever I install a plugin that affects either authentication or the database, I have to run it by our database administrator. They've recently cut him to 20 hours until he finishes his PhD. It affected his visa status or something, so he had to finish school before a certain date, so he's kind of hard to get a hold of at the moment. Yes. Right now, it's just me. I have to update everything. And that's another good, I'm sorry, the question was, you know, how many users do we have? The university just purchased a license for digital measures. It's what they want to use for all of their CV reviews and tenure promotion kind of stuff. Apparently, there's an API that I can use to pull the data directly from their database. That's one of the solutions we're going to go forward, so I don't have to keep updating all of the faculty profiles. If that's not the case, if we decide that we don't want to use digital measures, We've also looked at an LDAP plugin so they can log in with their Active Directory, authenticate that way, and then update their own bios. Because you can actually pull in, you know, their contact information and everything that's in AD right now, we can pull into WordPress dynamically when they log in the first time. And you can set it so every time they log in, it automatically updates from Active Directory. So we, hypothetically, we will end up having 120 to 200 users. That's, yes, that's where the caching plugin will come in. And like I said, I don't think that there's going to be 100 faculty members updating their profiles at one time. Yes? No, the CSV importer by default, as long as you put the headers in properly in the CSV file, and it pulls it automatically. The only thing I did have to update with the plugin is it didn't check for duplicates. So it's actually really well documented in the code. I just had to find the area where they actually created the entry in the database, and I had it search for the title first before it would import the entry. Is there any code that you guys would like to see posted? Because I've got a few of the snippets on the site. You know, it's basically, you know, the taxonomies, the custom loop for the researchers, and the hook, which the hook, like I told you, was from Justin Tadlock. But is there anything else that you'd like to see from actually inside the template? All right. The custom template? Well, at the moment, I don't have it up, and we actually, I'm sorry?
Page template up, that would be great.
Okay.
We got to see how it pulls through a research project.
Well, for the research project, and this is not the actual, you know, file, the WordPress template, but this is the page that comes up. First it just checks for the research areas with the term list. You specify what you want it to say before the terms are spit out, spits out the term list. The departments, the primary investigator, the co-PIs, and actually, I do have the page where, like this, the specific project that's up right now, there's the research area categories, which is a little off the page, just the same place where you have categories and tags for posts and if pages, if you implement it, is the same place where you put the research area, the same place you put the department and then the primary investigator. And like I said, the one thing that I wish I could change is the slug for the primary investigator has to be the same as the slug for the researcher for it to recognize that there's a profile for that user and redirect their URL. And then there's actually a lot of custom meta information for the professor or the researcher. They wanted, the title comes in as first name, last name, because that's how it's read, you know, by common people. So I had to put a custom metadata or meta field in for their last name so you could sort by their last name. They are sometimes in multiple departments, so I had to put in their primary department and then the URL for that specific site is one of the features they wanted afterwards. There is their contact information, their office location, city, state, and this is their primary location. They have multiple offices around campus. And they're one of the biggest complaints I've also had is our directory. It was built in 2003. Instead of using a separate field for first name and last name, it's last name, comma, first name. And it is awesome. But it's used everywhere for the contact form. So I haven't had the time to change it. So when you click on contact me, it goes to the contact form. So we had to put in the URL encoded username, and that's what the form pulls. And then they each have their personal profiles, pages. This guy just started last week, so he doesn't have this set up. And then usually they have additional websites they want added to their profile page, whether it's a class they're teaching or their unique research site. And another feature that we added was a custom image size for the thumbnail, which Lacey actually talked about this morning. It's another piece of code that's one line. It's a couple more than that, actually, because I checked for that. We checked to see that it allows thumbnails, and then if the thumbnail exists, we just added a new thumbnail size. It's 200 by 240, so it automatically pulls in and crops the photo to this size and orientation. Any other questions? Yes. Yes. The custom meta fields, I believe, are a separate table. So, and then that table has the key that puts them together is post ID. Well, I appreciate you guys coming out. I know it's the last thing of the day. So, thanks again. Your target share.